Part 2. Outside. Silo 18. 19. Juliet stood in the airlock while gas was pumped in around her. The cleaning suit crinkled against her skin. She felt none of the fear from the last time she was sent out, but none of the deluded hope that drove many to exile. Somewhere between pointless dreams and hopeless dread was a desire to know the world, and if possible, make it better. The pressure in the airlock grew, and the folds of her suit found every raised scar across her body, wrinkles pressing where wrinkles had once burned. It was a million pricks from a million gentle needles. Every sensitive part of her touched all at once, as if this airlock remembered, as if it knew her. A lover's apology. Clear plastic sheets had been hung over the walls. These began to ripple as they were forced tight around pipes, around the bench where she'd been dressed. Not long now. If anything, she felt excitement, relief, a long project coming to an end. She pulled one of the sample containers off her chest and cracked the lid, gathering some of the inert argon for a reference. Screwing the lid back on, she heard a dull and familiar thud within the recesses of the great outer door. The silo opened, and a wisp of fog appeared as pressurized gas pushed its way through, preventing the outside from getting in. The fog swelled and swirled around her. It pushed at her back, urging her along. Juliet lifted a boot, stepped through the thick outer doors of Silo 18, and was outside once again. The ramp was just as she remembered it, a concrete plane rising up through the last level of her buried home and toward the surface of the earth. Trapped dirt made slopes of hard corners, and streaks and splatters of mud stained the walls. The heavy doors thumped together behind her, and a dispersing fog rose up toward the clouds. Juliet began her march up the gentle rise.
"You okay?"
Lucas's soft voice filled her helmet. Juliet smiled. It was good to have him with her. She pinched her thumb and finger together, which keyed the microphone in her helmet.
"No one has ever died on the ramp, Lucas. I'm doing just fine."
He whispered an apology, and Juliet's smile widened. It was a different thing altogether to venture out with the support behind her. Much different than being exiled, while shamed backs were turned, no one daring to watch. She reached the top of the ramp, and a feeling of rightness overtook her. Without the fear or the digital lies of an electronic visor, she felt what she suspected humans were meant to feel. A heady rush of disappearing walls, of raw land spread out in every direction, of miles and miles of open air and tumbling clouds. Her flesh tingled from the thrill of exploration. She had been here twice before, but this was something new. This had purpose.
"Taking my first sample," she said, pinching her glove.
She pulled another of the small containers from her suit. Everything was numbered, just like a cleaning, but the steps had changed. Weeks of planning and building had gone into this, a flurry of activity up top while her friends tunneled through the earth. She cracked the lid of the container, held it aloft for a count of 10, and then screwed the cap back on. The top of the vessel was clear. A pair of gaskets rattled inside, and twin strips of heat tape were affixed to the bottom. Juliet pressed waxy sealant around the lip of the lid, making it airtight. The numbered sample went into a flapped pouch on her thigh, joining the one from the airlock. Lucas's voice crackled through the radio.
"We've got a full burn in the airlock. Nelson is letting it cool down before he goes in."
Juliet turned and faced the sensor tower. She fought the urge to lift her hand to acknowledge the dozens of men and women who were watching on the cafeteria's wall screen. She looked down at her chest and tried to clear her mind, to remember what she was supposed to do next. Soil sample. She shuffled away from the ramp and the tower toward a patch of dirt that maybe hadn't seen footsteps in centuries. Kneeling down, the undersuit pinching the back of her knee, she scooped dirt using the shallow container. The soil was packed hard and difficult to dig up, so she brushed more of the surface soil onto the top, filling the dish.
"Surface sample complete," she said, pinching her glove.
She screwed the lid on carefully and pressed the ring of wax before sliding it into a pouch on her other thigh.
"Good going," Lucas said.
He was probably aiming for encouragement. All she could hear was his intense worry.
"Taking the deep sample next."
She grabbed the tool with both hands. She'd built the large T on the top while wearing bulky suit gloves to make sure the grip would be right. With the corkscrew end pressed against the earth,
She twisted the handle around and around, leaning her weight into her arms to force the blades through the dense soil. Sweat formed on her brow. A drop of perspiration smacked her visor and trembled into a little puddle as her arms jerked with effort. A caustic and stiff breeze buffeted her suit, pushing her to the side. When the tool penetrated all the way to the tape mark on the handle, she stood and pulled the T-bar, using her legs. The plug came free, an avalanche of deep soil spilling off and crumbling into the dry hole. She slid the case over the plug and locked it into place. Everything had the fit and polish of supplies best. She stowed the tool back in its pouch, slung it around onto her back, and took a deep breath. "Good?" Lucas asked. She waved at the tower. "I'm good. 2 more samples left. How far along is the airlock?" "Let me check." While Lucas saw how the preparations for her return were going, Juliet trudged toward the nearest hill. Her old footsteps had been worn away by a light rain, but she remembered the path well. The crease in the hill stood like an inviting stairway, a ramp on which 2 forms still nestled. She stopped at the base of the hill and pulled out another container with gaskets and heat tape inside. The cap came off easily. She held it up to the wind, allowing whatever blew inside to become trapped. For all they knew, these were the first tests made of the outside air. Reams and reams of bogus reports from previous cleanings had been nothing but numbers used to uphold and justify fears. It was a charade of progress, of efforts being made to right the world, when all they ever cared about was selling the story of how wrong it was. The only thing more impressive to Juliet than the depths of the conspiracy had been the speed and relief with which its mechanisms had crumbled within IT. The men and women of Level 34 reminded her of the children of Silo 17, frightened and wide-eyed and desperate for some adult they could cling to and trust. This foray of hers to test the outside air was looked upon with suspicion and fear elsewhere in the silo, but in IT, where they had pretended to do this work for generations, the chance to truly investigate had been seized by many with wild abandon. "Damn!" Juliet slapped the cover on the container. Her mind had wandered. She had forgotten to count to 10, had probably gone twice that. "Hey, Jules?" She squeezed her fingers together. "Yeah?" Releasing the mic, she locked the lid tight, made sure it said 2 on the top, and sealed the edges. She put it away with the other container, cursing her inattention. "The airlock burn is complete. Nelson went in afterward to get things ready for you, but they're saying it's going to be a while to charge the argon again. Are you sure you're feeling okay?" She took a moment to survey herself and give an honest answer. A few deep breaths, wiggled her joints, looked up at the dark clouds to make sure her vision and balance were normal. "Yeah, I feel fine." "Okay, and they're going to go with the flames when you come back. It looks like they really might have been necessary. We were getting some strange readings in the airlock before you left. As a precaution, Nelson is getting a scrub down in the inner lock right now. We'll have everything prepped for you as fast as we can." Juliet didn't like the sound of any of that. Her passage through the Silo 17 airlock had been terrifying, but with no lasting consequences. Dumping soup on herself had been enough to survive. The theory they had been working under was that conditions outside weren't as bad as they'd been led to believe, and that the flames were more a deterrent against not leaving the airlock than an actual necessity for cleansing the air. The challenge with this mission of hers was getting back inside without enduring another burn or another stint in the hospital. But she couldn't put the silo at risk either. She squeezed her fingers together, thinking suddenly of all that was at stake. "Is there still a crowd up there watching?" she asked Lucas. "Yeah, there's a lot of excitement in the air. People can't believe this is happening." "I want you to clear them out," she said. She let go of her thumb. There was no reply. "Lucas, do you read me? I want you to get everyone down to at least level 4. Clear out anyone not working on this, okay?" She waited. "Yeah," Lucas said. There was a lot of noise in the background. "We're doing that right now, trying to keep everyone calm. Tell them it's just a precaution because of the readings in the airlock." "Doing that," he sounded winded. Juliet hoped she wasn't causing a panic for no reason. "I'm going to get the last sample," she said, focusing on the task at hand. They had prepared for the worst. Everything was going to be okay. She was thankful for the crude sensors they'd installed in the airlock. The next time out, she hoped to install a permanent array on the tower. But she couldn't get too far ahead of herself. She approached one of the cleaners at the base of the hill. The body they'd chosen belonged to Jack Brent. It had been 9 years since he'd been sent to clean, having gone mad after his wife's second miscarriage. Juliet knew very little else about him, and that had been her main criterion for the final sample. She made her way to what was left of the body. The old suit had long turned a dull gray like the soil. What once was a metallic coating flaked away like old paint. The boots were eaten thin, the visor chipped. Jack lay with his arms folded across his chest, legs straight and parallel, almost as if he had taken a nap and had never gotten up. More like he had lain down to gaze at the clear blue sky in his visor. Juliet pulled the last box out, the one marked 3, and knelt beside the dead cleaner. It spooked her to think that this would have been her fate, were it not for Scotty and Walker and the people of supply who had risked so much. She lifted the sharp blade out of the sample box and cut a square patch from the suit. Setting the blade on the cleaner's chest, she picked up the sample and dropped it into the container. Holding her breath, she grabbed the blade, careful not to nick her own suit, and sliced into the rotted undersuit where it had been exposed across the cleaner's belly. This last sample had to be prized out with the blade. If there was any flesh inside or gathered with it, she couldn't tell. Everything was thankfully dark beneath the torn and dilapidated suit, but it seemed like nothing but soil in there, blown in amongst the dry bones. She put the sample in the container and left the blade by the cleaner, no longer needing it and not wanting to risk handling it any further with the bulky gloves. She stood and turned toward the tower.
"You okay?"
Lucas's voice sounded different, muffled. Juliet exhaled, felt a little dizzy from holding her breath so long.
"I'm fine. We're almost ready for you. Let's start heading back."
She nodded, even though he probably couldn't see her at that distance, not even with the tall wall screens magnifying the world.
"Hey, you know what we forgot?"
She froze and studied the tower.
"What is it?" she asked. "Forgot what?"
Sweat trickled down her cheek, tickling her skin. She could feel the lace of scars at the back of her neck, where her last suit had melted against her.
"We forgot to send you out with a pad or two," Lucas said. "There's already some buildup visible in here, and you know, while you're out there—"
Juliet glared at the tower.
"I'm just saying," Lucas said, "you maybe could have, you know, given it a bit of a cleaning."